Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. Today I'm going to talk with Cynthia Ling Lee, whose multimedia piece, Suno, Tell Me Sister, is part of the National Asian American Theater Festival, taking place in Los Angeles from June 23rd through 26th. Cynthia is a member of the Post-Natium Collective, which is a far-flung group of artistic women who connect via internet technologies and have performed their work internationally. Her collaborators include Sandra Chatterjee, Shamala Murthy, Anjali Tata, and the group is focused around community involvement as well through a violence prevention group in the South Asia network called AWAS. So thanks for being with me today, Cynthia.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Allison.
Suno Tell Me Sister is comprised of several components, from dance and movement to video. So I wanted to get a sense of a little bit about the piece and how it came together for you.
Absolutely. The piece has been under a long development process over 2 to 3 years. It started very simply with the desire to create work together when we were separated by distance. So just by collaborating every month, giving each other choreographic assignments, this then like spiraled into this really rich collaborative process in which we started to focus on generating material around a couple of central themes, which are basically around women's stories of being silenced, finding voice, and the importance of sisterly community. And a couple of the important threads in that are, one, our own stories of our struggles with tradition, whether that be cultural or dance tradition or performance tradition. Two, looking at the legacy of the performing courtesan, who was part of the classical dance forms, Indian dance forms that we are all trained in, whose story and contributions to the history of the forms have kind of been erased. And three, looking directly at kind of ethnographic, in a way, field work with these women from AWAS who have been survivors of domestic or relationship violence, and doing work with them, yoga, creative writing exercises, interviews, and then folding their stories into the piece itself. So those are the three components.
Wow, that's very, very rich. As you mentioned, movement and dance seem to connect the various parts of the work. I wondered what you felt was the kind of the greatest benefit of finding character or story or even the theme of a piece beginning with movement first.
Well, we all come from dance backgrounds, but we come from Indian classical dance backgrounds, as well as having sort of multidisciplinary training, and some of us in theater, some of us creative writing, music, some film a little bit as well. And the thing about Indian classical dance is, unlike sort of Western definitions of theater, it's a quite multidisciplinary art form. It includes movement, but it also centrally includes drama, it includes music as well. So folded into the classical Indian aesthetics, or even the folk aesthetics in India, are kind of this grasping onto multiple different disciplines. And so we naturally work with character and with emotion and with text in different ways in the classical traditions, but then we try really to make them relevant to our everyday contemporary and political realities. So taking, for instance, Indian hand gestures and facial expression, which might be usually used to tell a love story or like stories of Hindu gods, for instance, and applying that, for example, to the story of a real domestic violence survivor here in Los Angeles.
Wow, that does sound really, really rich. I wanted to kind of break down the individual aspects that you have already mentioned, and starting with the history of the courtesan, and it's a very important element of this particular piece, and I wondered what attracted you to that part of it first and foremost.
Personally, and I'll speak from my own perspective and not all four of the collaborators who are central in making this show, I came into this art form as an adult, a Taiwanese-American who's not of Indian descent, and my first teacher was actually a scholar. She was a visual anthropologist as well as a practitioner, and she basically imparted to me a really critical history of the form at the same time that I was learning the technique, and it was one in which an understanding of the way in which a certain vision of woman, a certain vision of Hindu nationalism, was embodied in the classical forms. Basically, what happened, to try to simplify it a little bit, was that there used to be these courtesans, there are still tiny vestiges of them, who were the performing artists who did forms that are the predecessors, like the mothers of our dance forms now. And they sometimes were really powerful women, like they held positions, they had a lot of money, they were land-owning, they were highly educated, and they also had these economic and sexual kind of attachments to particular courts or particular noblemen. So there's kind of very strange and liminal place in society. And the British came, and then sort of at first they enjoyed them, and then there was this sort of like internalization of Victorian values of sexuality by the local Indian, like kind of highly educated, Western educated Indians. And so they started to see these forms as being shameful and the courtesans as being shameful. And so they wanted to take the forms and clean them up, take out the sex, make it more more religious, make it more Hindu rather than it used to be this kind of Muslim, Hindu, secular, sacred hybrid. Basically clean it up so that it could be this proper symbol of Indian nationalism, of Indian cultural symbol, that could be something that they felt like they could be proud of. So this included erasing the courtesan from the history. And now I felt when I started to do Indian classical dance that there's this really strong burden of kind of an identity politics attached to the form. And I love the form's aesthetics, I loved its emotions, its musicality, its rhythm, but being someone who was not born into like Indian, of Indian blood, I resonated less with this sort of dancing Indian dance in order to be Indian. And more specifically, in order to be a like proper Indian woman, I really rebelled against that. And in fact, I had this, I was this feminist. I was like a dyed-in-the-wool radical American feminist. And so I went to India. I was quite young. I was 23 years old. Most of my formative training is in India, not in the U.S. And I was also very sincere, and I wanted to immerse myself in another culture and kind of understand their philosophy through the dance and, you know, and not kind of impose my Western ideas. So there was a lot of interesting kind of tension. So I was asked to embody these roles or to embody these stories that kind of had a particular vision of femininity where the it seemed to me initially that the woman was very sighing and coy and kind of like submissive, and it really bothered me. But then I got into this sort of like knot and conflict about like, well, maybe I'm just not saying something, or maybe I'm imposing my own Western ideas of feminism upon, you know, this form or this culture. And so that conflict kind of led me to look into the history more deeply. And I had already had some education about this beforehand. And the more I really investigated the history of my particular form, which is called Kathak, K-A-T-H-A-K, from North India and what is now Pakistan, the more I saw that the form is really intercultural, hybrid, kind of celebrating an ownership of sexuality and eroticism in the female body in ways that are really different than what I had learned necessarily as an American modern dancer and feminist, and through which one could recover strong female voices. It was very complicated. And so this was some of my, you know, inspiration for kind of digging into the history a little bit more deeply, was basically the discomfort of trying to fit into particular gender roles and visions of femininity in my own body that I wasn't initially comfortable with. And so rather than kind of withdrawing and saying, I won't do this form, I'll just change it, it motivated me to research the form's history more deeply.